Ladies and gentlemen, your old pal EZ with a few words about my latest and greatest partner, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. My goodness. Prize Picks, what I love is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports, and all you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Check this out. One. Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in the month of September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Also, good news, Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in most states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still alive. How about this for a lineup? Tyreek Hill for more than 90 receiving yards. Dak Prescott for more than 263 passing yards. Josh Allen for less than 240 passing yards. And CeeDee Lamb for more than 96 receiving yards. Then you watch, you root, you have fun. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Eric Zane and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Eric Zane, of course, on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning. The live stream of the Eric Zane Show podcast is brought to you this time around for this Friday by A&E Heating and Cooling. 616-516-8579, any way possible. We are getting it done. Thank you for making Joe your guy. You know, I was talking with a person just yesterday, and I was like, yeah, you know, there's a real grassroots vibe to this silly podcast, down to me doing it from a dormer in my above my garage to a lot of these one-man show type of advertisers who bust their ass and work very hard to make a living. And Joe Martinez is one of those guys. And I had a listener reach out and said, hey, I want to make sure that Joe Martinez knows that when my dad calls, he's like a listener of the podcast, or he found out about you from me. It's kind of like everybody's helping each other out, that type of vibe. And Joe and a number of other sponsors have that same scenario, just working very, very hard to make it happen. So I rely on you to support the sponsors. And Joe is one of those amazing people that makes it all happen at A&E Heating and Cooling. Yeah, I know there's a number of different places you can call on in the West Michigan area, and I definitely think you should bang on their door too, just so you can compare what you're paying for the exact same thing. Now, Joe used to work for this gigantic company, one of the biggest in town, and he's like, you know what, I can make a hell of a lot more money, save the consumer a lot of money, and I don't have to answer to the man. So he said, screw you, big company, and now he's doing his own thing. So go ahead, bang on the door of those great big companies and even anybody else, and then just take those estimates and compare them to what Joe Martinez can do for you. And if by chance they happen to be cheaper than Joe, tell them. Say, hey, you bastard, what are you doing? Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. You totally got him by the short and curlies right there. A&E Heating and Cooling, 616-516-8579. I just sounded like I was drunk there.
616-516-8579 for A&E Heating and Cooling, utilizing the Comfort Maker brand of furnaces and air conditioners. One more before we officially get underway on the podcast. Terrytown RV is the RV distributor of choice, the dealer of choice on the Eric Zane Show podcast. Their actual location is on Division, hang on, between 68th and 76th Street. And my gosh, if you're in the market for a travel trailer, fifth wheel, motorhome, oh gosh, Class A, B, C, you name it. They have it all. Go to their website, terrytownrv.com, and check out their selection. And then it's like, all right, this is the one I think I want. I'm going to come see it with the missus. Man, I'm telling you, if you've been like, man, I sure would love one of those, but I just don't think that I have the wherewithal or the money. Look, they are blessed with the ability to take the cost of these things and, you know, put you into a really, really long loan. So something that is that you're like, oh, I could never afford that. If you've got $170 a month or less, you can be just set up beautifully with a camper that you then use forever. That's your own rolling hotel room these days. My gosh. Get the selection and check it out at terrytownrv.com. This is the 23rd of October, 2020, show number 451. I did not mention that yesterday I had a milestone show of number 450. So here you go, 451. It happens now.
Hey, this is Blue State Rob, and you're listening to the Eric Zane Show podcast, a show hosted by a liberal Republican whose ancestry dates back to the small country of Armenia and fueled by bouts of anxiety and adult attention hyperactivity disorder, also known as ADHD. It's not the best, but still better than radio. Anyway, here's your host, Eric Zane.
Well, thank you very much, Blue State Rob. How are you, buddy? And welcome to you. This is a daily podcast where I cover news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. I had a visitor by the house yesterday, two of them. I'll talk more about that coming up. And one of the questions that this lovely lady asked me was, boy, how do you find time to do all this? How do you prepare every single day? And are we eating into your preparation time? And I'm like, well, no. It's basically just kind of keeping an eye on what's going on in the world each and every moment. I can't imagine trying to do something like this without the without like a cell phone, because that's like the number one instrument of destruction for preparing a show. Is okay. Here's the story link. Here's the story link. Here's some information. And you're constantly just evolving that. What? Okay. Yeah, I can talk about this. Oh, that sucks. Not talking about that. Fuck that. Talking about this. Talking about that. Talking about this. Talking about that. And then it's just wash, rinse, repeat. But the real essence of the show is, you know, breaking down things that happen during the day, interactions with people. Yesterday was a holy shit, was yesterday crazy. The big hitter was the conversation I had with the Queen of the Forest, my wife, Diana, when she revealed about the startling conversation she had with her beloved brother, No Filter Kevin, down in my TV room. Holy crap. I'm not going to rehash that thing, but you must go back and listen to that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this is probably the most stark example of the no filter thing with my beloved brother-in-law. I mean, it's beyond comprehension. This is something you would never say to your sister or anyone. Holy shit. And I just can't wait to tell my brother about that. My brother Mike, regular Mike, he loves these stories. And so you get it all firsthand as it happens. It flew out of her mouth into your ears, because when she told the story on the podcast yesterday, I was hearing it for the first time. All I knew is that something weird took place, and I actually stopped. I go, okay, stop. This is on Wednesday. I go, stop. Don't tell me another word. Save it for the podcast. Are you willing to tell the story in the podcast?
Yes.
Okay, good. Don't tell me another word. We got to save this for the podcast. All right. Okay. Here it is. The end of the week. It's Friday. I was the idea was just lay low this weekend. I had wiped my schedule clean. I had some other things planned, and now it's creeping back up. It's just like that. Limo work shows up out of the blue. No, I don't want to be hanging out with a bunch of people this weekend, but if I'm sitting in the driver's seat of a limousine, I can handle that. The side action business, the limousine job, they reach out, they go, hey, can you do a this time to this time Saturday and a this time to this time Sunday? And I'm like, hell yes, give me that job. I need more material to talk about on the show. So you can expect some limo war stories on Monday's show. All right. Big plans tonight with the Eric and Ben podcast. It just doesn't sound right. It almost sounds better to say Ben and Eric. A special guest will join us in the podcast. If you're watching this show live right now, you'll be able to see the first handful of minutes of it. And then we cut the cord. And, you know, if you're watching on Patreon live, well, that's the way to do it, because that's what that podcast is exclusive to, Patreon. A crazy guy wants to kill Joe Biden. And there's a crazy amount of evidence piled up against this guy. It's like he went around and said, all right, let's get a whole bunch of crazy shit that shows that I'm insane and that I actually want to carry this out, and I'll present it to the world. It's really unbelievable. The football game last night featured one of the greatest sports bloopers I've seen in a long, long time. It was quarterback Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. And I'll get into that. I even have Aikman and Buck, those two jackasses, fresh off of them saying flyovers suck and throwing their endorsement to Biden and Harris. They are back with just some hilarious commentary as Daniel Jones screws everything up. My gosh, was this awesome. A high-speed chase in Los Angeles leads to an unusual moment for the bad guy, and it's all seen by the traffic helicopter. I'll have the audio from the traffic helicopter, but it's something you definitely want to see, too. I'll link that up. I have a story about depravity on an unconscionable level as a dude in Oklahoma agrees to have a castration performed on him. Like, he's like, his buddy's like, hey man, can we castrate you? And he's like, yeah, let's do it. I know I've pretty much told you the story, but there's more to it that's just beyond crazy. We'll get into that. And I also have something that I'm really looking forward to sharing with you. And these are the moments that I just, they actually make me excited. When I connect with someone on a really, really intimate level. I'm not talking about like intimate, like sexually. I mean like real emotion. And something has happened. And I will share this moving email from Zaniac Bobby Sue to all of you. And I've heard this on more than one occasion. What she's describing to me, I've heard this from others too. And it seems to be more and more people are coming out of the woodwork and are kind of going down this road. I know that's vague, but I don't want to spoil it for you. All right. But first, I want to get this out of the way. The debate went down last night. Now, I watched about as much as I could of the debate. And this is the takeaway. When it isn't weird, when Trump's not interrupting and Biden's not interrupting and Trump's not saying stand by to the Proud Boys and Biden's not stumbling and stammering and acting like a moron, I'm not interested. I think the most interesting thing about that debate was Christian Welker, the moderator, keeping it on the rails. You know, this is a perfect time to bring up that, you know, if you want something with no drama, you need to put a lady in charge. Because I don't know, maybe she benefited from all of the backlash that happened the previous one with Chris Wallace, who just was the shittiest moderator in the history of moderators. So maybe they were a little bit more watching their behavior. I guess we wouldn't know unless you could see Christian Walker in the previous debate trying to keep the car on the road or the train on the tracks or whatever. But I thought she did a really good job in keeping that thing moving. There were times that they're like, can I respond? Can I respond? And she would let them when she probably wanted to move on. And the two dudes kind of, I think they were a little bit more behaved, a little bit more buttoned up and reserved, which led to, well, frankly, a more boring debate. I don't think that, God, they suck. I mean, that debate didn't really change anybody's mind, in my opinion. And I don't know. I think that the only thing that happened in the previous debate was if someone's mind was changed, it was because of all the terrible behavior. But, you know, you basically had two guys throwing accusations at each other and all that other nonsense. And I don't have a lot of takeaways from it. To me, the big news is that they got it done, for God's sake. I guess John Daly, the golfer, and his buddy Kid Rock were in the audience for the Nashville, Tennessee event. I think it was Belmont University. They're both huge Trump supporters, and they were actually in the audience that was described in it. You wouldn't have known it on the coverage, but it was talked about as it was getting started. All right, so here we are now, a week and a handful of days from this mess. As of last night, I think 43 million Americans had already voted, which I was really surprised by. I didn't know that there were that many people that have already voted. In my opinion, they should actually have, you know, put it out there, like take the votes and count them. And say, all right, here's where we are after today. Of course, that might kind of dilute the vote because then people might be like, oh, fuck, I'm not even going to vote now because he's way behind my guy. But whatever, over 40 million Americans have already voted. I love voting on day of. I talked about this before. I like going in. I don't have a busy area where I'm at, so I don't have to wait. I want to see all the oddness. I want to see if there is any things going on. I want to be able to experience it. So it won't be long at all. Before that all went down, though, and so I sat down, watched the thing. But before that, my day went like this. Someone had reached out to me, and I didn't really know what was going on. I was a little bit confused at first. I'm not going to lie. But this concerns my mother. So when my mom was growing up, she had it was her, and she had a very, very dear friend named Marilyn. And She lived down in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and she had become very prominent in nursing in Kalamazoo. She had her family. My mom had her family, and we would always interact. So she was known as my Aunt Marilyn. I had talked about her on the radio years ago when she had passed because I kind of got reconnected to her. And then when she passed away, I said some things about her. Almost in like a eulogizing way on the radio. And so after her passing, I haven't spoken to anybody from her family. And her kids are all like about the age range of my brothers and me. And so the families kind of grew together. But like I said, I hadn't heard from them in the longest time. Well, when my mom passed, I tracked down one of the family members and said, hey, I got some bad news. My mother passed away. And then I spoke with the dude. His name is John. And so the word got out through the Lehrman family. So, in fact, John Jr., John, the guy I was talking to, his son is John Lehrman. And he played basketball for Aquinas College here in Grand Rapids. And the dude was just like lights out, like scoring record type of, he'd throw it up from half court like 10 times a game and it would go in 9 times. And so I would go to the Aquinas basketball games to watch John play basketball with my Aunt Marilyn. It was just amazing. It was just so much fun. And so I informed them of the passing of my mother. Word gets through to all the Lehrman kids. And then my Aunt Marilyn's sister shows up to the funeral. So I thought, okay, great. Somebody got there as a representative of the family. That's wonderful, man. That's fantastic. That all ends. Back to work. Well, then I get a message, a four-minute message from a phone number in Chicago. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I could barely hear what was going on. It's like someone had butt dialed me and then set the phone down. And I hear a conversation between a lady and some dude, and they were talking business, but I couldn't quite make out what they were talking about. I'm like, who the hell is this person? So I dialed the number, and then it rang, and then it picks up, and it's a decorative concrete company. And I don't know who the person is, and I don't know why a decorative concrete company would be calling me. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I hang it up. And then I get a text from that number. It says, hey, yeah. It was a voicemail saying, hey, this is, and I thought it said Judy Thompson. This is Judy Thompson, Aunt Marilyn's daughter. And I go, I don't remember Aunt Marilyn having a daughter named Judy. This is all weird. And how do you have my number? And then I'm like, maybe she got it from John, who I reached out to, and that's what this is. So I'm assuming, yeah, we need to see you. We have a gift for you from the family. Now I'm like, oh, okay, yes, that's very, very kind. And then I ended up reaching out to the person. It's Julie, and I go, of course, it's Julie. I know there was Denise, Pat, Julie, John, and Susie. So I was like, all right, great. So the plan is set. My Aunt Marilyn, not really our aunt, but our Aunt Marilyn's daughter, Julie, is going to show up at our house. She has a son who lives in Grand Rapids, and she was in town, and she lives in Chicago right now. And I understand that she owns a decorative concrete company. Okay, it all makes sense. Piece of cake. Does the story end there, though? No, because she has to come to the house. And you know something ridiculous is going to happen. Did it? Yes. Now, I must say this. You ever, like, meet someone, kind of get reacquainted after 100 years, and there's no awkwardness, and you just gel, and it just works? It's really strange how that is. And, I think with a total stranger that wouldn't happen, but being that there is a shared connection between this lady, Julie, and her husband, Mark, who I met, and Diana and myself, we just took off. It was amazing. Now, I don't know if they'll be able to say the same thing. I sure hope so, but they sure got a laugh, it seemed, out of the shit that went down when they visited. So they come walking up the driveway. And we had talked about, they talked about radio with me, and I go, oh, yeah, I'm not on the radio anymore. I do a podcast. So little do I know this, but they're listening. They had listened to the podcast in the moments leading up to the visit yesterday. So, okay, great. Now, if you just walk in off the street and listen to my podcast, a few things that are going to stand out. And first of all is the language, the way I talk. So that made an appearance right away, and I'm like, oh shit, I hope these people aren't offended by the way I talk. I swear like a sailor all the damn time. So as soon as I find out that they listen to the podcast, I go, so I swear all the time. I hope that, and they go, oh no, it's fine. I'm like, oh, thank God. They walk in, and I have put the dogs away. All right. And so I wanna keep it that way for this visit. And but Benny is upstairs, the one-eyed wonder dog. Now, of all the dogs that we have, Benny is the one least likely to cause any type of chaos. He's just so subdued and relaxed. But, you know, he usually kind of stays away. But it was really weird because they walk in, and he must have sensed that they were warm or nice people or whatever, because he comes down the steps, and he greets them. I'm like, holy shit, Benny, look at you, man. You're freaking welcome wagon. That's amazing. And then he leaves. No big deal. We're sitting there in the kitchen talking, and we start to hear, wow, it's freaking Daisy doing Chewbacca dog speak, and she's inside of this laundry room that we have, and the other two dogs are in there too, Bruce and O'Neill. Bruce and O'Neill are in kennels. Daisy is outside of the kennel, sticking her face at the bottom of the door so we can hear it extra loud. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's embarrassing. I go, well, you know, Daisy wants to meet you, so I'll let her out. And I had already told them that we have four dogs. And they're, and this guy, Mark, he's like, you have four dogs? And he's just laughing about that. And I don't know what it was, man. We just hit it off. We had so much fun talking to these people. It was just great. And I haven't seen Julie in probably 40 years, maybe more. Okay. I take it back. I was at her mother's funeral, but we didn't really interact because it was really packed and the family was really mourning. And I just didn't want to, it was just weird. I didn't want to sidetrack anybody. I don't know. Just, I didn't really have much of an interaction with her. So Daisy comes out and it's like, she makes her presence known right away and she's getting all the attention. She's super happy, you know, and they're like, oh my God, look at this big burly female bulldog. It's amazing. And then Bruce, as soon as Daisy gets let out, Bruce starts acting up. I'm like, oh shit. Now, all right, well, I'll introduce them one at a time. I bring out Bruce. And then short time later, I bring out O'Neill. Now, all the three of the wrecking crew is in the living room. Now, O'Neill is not really part of the wrecking crew. It's pretty much just always Daisy and Bruce. And, you know, how many times have we talked about when they start to get after each other, Bruce will then get agitated and decide that he has to defuse the fight by humping Daisy. Now, that's, I'm thinking, oh, please don't let that happen. And thank God it didn't happen. Because if that happened, then I know that No Filter Kevin is going to yell out from across the room, his little pink dick sticking out or something like that. I'm like, oh, no, come on. And all I want to do is get through this. So Daisy and Bruce start fighting over this freaking Kong. And it's just always a shit show. And if you take the Kong away, Daisy starts freaking out. And it's like, I'm like, all I want to do is entertain these folks. And the dogs are walking up to them. And then Bruce, of all things, while Julie is sitting there, she's seated a little bit forward on her chair. It's like a pub chair, you know? And Bruce jumps onto the chair and is like in an instant. He's right behind her, and they got a big laugh out of that. Thank God they weren't freaked out by dogs. And I'm like, son of a bitch, this is embarrassing. And they're doing the old, no, it's fine. We have dogs. And I'm like, oh, God, yeah, but they're not like these four. What the hell? We can never have anybody over the house ever again. But that's not the worst of it. They had been, like I said, fighting over that damn Kong. And Daisy always sounds incredibly ferocious when she's fighting with Bruce over that Kong. Now, to us, it's like, just shut up. Whatever. And I'm like worried that they're going to think that there's going to be like a massive Michael Vick dog brawl happening in the living room. So I want them to stop it. Well, I don't know what it was, but maybe it was my presence. But as I got close to Bruce and Daisy to break it up, like a linesman in a hockey fight, it got amped up. And so they really started going after it. So then I'm going to pull Daisy off the pile. And I go, Dad, I need help. And she was useless because she walks over and she grabs Benny, who happened to be fourth man or third man in, but he wasn't really involved in the fight. He was just standing there, and she grabs Benny. I go, no, Benny's not even in the fight, man. It's between these two idiots. While that's happening, they hit this table, this end table, which has this lamp on it, and the lamp falls. It topples and shatters, man. Holy shit. You got these frosted coverings over the light bulbs. It busts. The lamp falls. The dogs are going crazy. It's just nuts. Kevin starts freaking out. Diana's freaking out. This couple, Julie and Mark, are like, what the fuck? Where are we? What is this place? This is just ridiculous. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh. So, all right. Separate them. Oh. So embarrassing. We really hit it off with these folks, so it was great. I enjoyed their company. I hope they can say the same. We talked about what each other did and or what we all did and I, like, I'm talking to them about what they do, what their siblings do, and we're describing our family scenario. So kind of like this big catch up period. And then I learned something that I was just so impressed with, and it is get this. See if you can follow along with me on this. Julie, the lady I'm sitting with, and her husband, I go, so tell me what you do with this concrete company. It's called a decorative concrete company. It's all I know. It's in Chicago. And I go, how did you get involved in the decorative concrete business? She goes, well, I've owned it for 17 years. And this is how she got started in this. This is incredible. I was so enamored with this story. She hired some people to replace the concrete in her basement. She wanted the basement to look a particular way. And her vision was one where she said, all right, I want you to do the concrete, and you're going to rip up the old stuff that's there. It's going to be a lot of work for you to do that because of some particular things with the flooring. And then when I want it, stamped and dyed and have, impressions that are decorative in the concrete. That's what I was understanding. So, you know, like you might see some guy like just pouring concrete and making it smooth. This would have actual texture to it and things like that, and maybe stylings, and it's very attractive to look at. It's the type of flooring that when you see it, you go, wow, that really stands out. Why? I mean, here, normally you walk into a room and you look around to see the impressive shit on the wall, but I'm looking at your floor, and your floor is a work of art. How the fuck did you do that? So she had this idea and this vision for the flooring. So she hires these dudes, and from what they described to me, these guys go at it, and they start ripping up the old flooring, and the flooring had, like, the tubing that runs through the floor so that the concrete stays warm, so that it's not really a colder. It makes the room warmer. I've got it in a couple of rooms in my house. I go, yeah. She goes, well, they were cutting through all the piping and, like, destroying it. And so she walked in. She goes, no, you dumb fuck, stop. It's not what I wanted you to do. I told you what I wanted you to do, and you're already fucking it up. You're fired. The flooring is repaired. And then she's like, okay. So then she's talking to people that are in that industry. They go, yeah, there's not a lot of people who know how to do what you want done. So what does she do? She enrolls in a class, a Mason type of class or like an actual school. And it's an entire boys club. Okay. And she's like the only lady there, and she's just doing it so she can learn how to do her own floor. Who the fuck does that? And she did it. And so she gets all of this knowledge, and she starts to experiment. And then time passes. She goes, all right, I'm ready to put my floor in. Puts her floor in, and it looks like $1 million. So then people start to see it. And just like I described to you, they're like, man, how the fuck? Look at, how did you do that? She goes, yeah, I actually taught myself how to do that. I did that. Oh, well, can you do it for me? Oh, maybe. So then over time, she started to, like, come up with a business plan. And sure as shit, she's got like 8 employees. She's got like a guy who's in charge of the crew. And it's all her vision. And she runs this decorative concrete company. I was like, holy shit, that's great. This is the greatest story I've ever heard. It's like the American dream right there. And so I go, so how does, I mean, what do you, and she says, I don't even have to advertise. I only go through people who have heard. There's like a connection. Every single person that reaches out to me has seen someone's floor like the way it happened with me. And it's so impressive that that's the way they did it. I was like, my God. I go, yeah, you don't need to advertise. You really don't. Because if you advertise, it's going to get way bigger, way faster, and then all of a sudden you've got to hire all these people and all these moving parts. Screw that. No. Absolutely awesome. I was so impressed with that story. So our guests were at our house for extended time, and man, I just loved it. And that's rare for me to, because typically with the ADD or the ADHD, it's like, I don't know whether I'm coming or going, and then I'm crawling out of my skin, and I'm like, oh, God, this is terrible. Like, I can't even sit in one place for more than 5 minutes, but here I am with these folks. So I barely know Julie, and I don't know her her husband at all, and we're just crushing it with the all these just amazing conversations. And then, holy shit, so small world, man. These things happen to me all the damn time. She's describing her son who lives in Grand Rapids, okay? And And Diana's with me, and she goes, "Yeah, our son is he's a pharmacist. He went to Ferris State University, and he is the only person to play 5 years of football." Wait, am I screwing this up? 5 years of football and graduate with a pharmacy degree in 105 years, because typically they you know, something they like quit because the program is so rigorous and the football program is also very demanding. So they were like very proud of that. So I learned about this kid, their son, and Diana is like, "Well, now how old is he?" And they said, "Oh, he's like 25. And she goes, "And he played football at Ferris." And they go, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh, well, what? That's crazy. One of the teachers that I teach with at the school that Diana works at, also went to Ferris and played football. And he's about the same age as your son." And they go, "Oh, yeah, what's her name?" And she says the dude's name. She goes, "Oh, my God, he was our son's roommate for 2 years. Holy crap. What the fuck? These crazy cosmic things always happen to me." Oh, it's such a small world. I fucking love those stories, man. It's those little things that always make me go, shit, we're all more closely knit than we know if we would just take the time to talk with one another. It was absolutely outstanding. That is the Friday open of the Eric Zane Show podcast. It is brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid. Now, here's the thing. I just talked to the show seamstress, Jen Belgraf. That name is prominent in the Eric Zane Show podcast household. Okay? I've talked about Jen many, many times. You may have remembered that the 2020 year started off in a shitty way with the passing of her beloved husband, Brian, who was a very, very dear friend of ours. And Jen is an unbelievable creative mind, just a juggernaut. And can do anything with photography and sewing and quilting and seamstress. It's just ridiculous the things that she can do. And being that she is so closely tied to hockey, it didn't take long before Mr. Van Andel and Mr. DeVos said, "Hey, yeah, we like winning Calder Cups here in Grand Rapids. And we like what you can do. Will you make from scratch our banners for all of our championships?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'll take that gig." So then she makes the freaking championship banners. No shit. Next time you go to Van Andel Arena, those banners up there are Jen's. She made those with her hands. I said to her, I go, "Jen, I need a couple of dog sweaters. One that says Irvine's Auto Repair on the side, and the other one says Grand Rapids Hybrid." So I talked to her yesterday about that. And so I bring it up because Irvine's is my sponsor that I'm mentioning right now. As it gets colder in here, you'll see Bruce with one of the sweaters and O'Neill with the other. Thank you, Irvine's. Megan, you are amazing. They just signed up for another quarter of marketing on the Eric Zane Show podcast. If you need your car fixed and you like this show, you know what to do, man. Call Irvine's in Grand Rapids, 616-532-6600. The continuous education of these techs is unbelievable. There's always somebody getting continuous education. All right, you guys work on all the cars, and so-and-so's got continuing education. They're absolutely the best, servicing domestic, Asian, European models. The only thing they don't like getting their hands on is Volkswagens. Screw that German shit, okay? Thank you to Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid, 616-532-6600. I do cameos, cameo.com/Eric Zane. Hire me to announce your friend's birthday, bust his balls on a job well done, maybe a bachelor type of roast. I will do that for you. It's just $15. It's so much better than any other gift that you can come up with, or maybe a good compliment gift. 616. I'm sorry. Why am I giving you a phone number? Reach out to me, cameo.com/Eric Zane. Yeah, call me at home, idiot. And then last but not least, my dog sponsor for Daisy, A&D Cleaning, 616-550-3644. Call Amy Porter when you want your house clean. Get an estimate on a weekly, monthly, I don't know, one-off, whatever it takes, cleaning of your home. And I'm telling you, the missus is going to be so happy. Make it a gift. Have me do the cameo, say, "Look at what your husband did. He hired Amy." Hell, look at what your husband did. He cleaned the house. Amy doesn't care if you take the credit. 616-550-3644. Okay. This podcast live each and every morning on Facebook. That's in Irvine's Auto Repair Grand Rapids Hybrid Joint. On Twitter, brought to you by Blue Frost IT, and YouTube, the almighty YouTube. If you can subscribe to my YouTube as well, that's brought to you by F45 Byron Center. Okay, so authorities have busted a guy who they say was he's on the watch list to do something terrible to former Vice President Joe Biden. I'm always intrigued about how they track these guys down, how the word actually gets out that they need to keep an eye on someone. It makes you wonder what they can hear. What authorities can hear more so than what you think. I don't have a problem with that. I've always said, hey, if it means people are going to be safer, I don't give a shit. You can take a look at what the hell I'm doing. Privacy, screw it. I don't care. I'm not doing anything I'm worried about. Okay? Some of you are like, oh, don't do that. Don't say that. This guy was arrested in North Carolina on child pornography charges this year. No word on how they, were tipped off about all of this, but upon investigating this dude, the story has just emerged that they found a van full of guns. And at one point, this guy drove within 4 miles of Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's home. And get there's like a laundry list of things that are like, yeah, I think definitely this is the guy you want off the street. And it starts with a checklist to execute him. Now, if you're the crazy guy that's going to execute someone, how is it that your brain is so broken that you can't even cover your own tracks? It actually makes it quite easy to prosecute someone like this. Alexander Treisman is the guy's name. These allegations were made against him in court earlier this month. According to the documents that NBC News has uncovered, the white van was reported abandoned in the parking lot of a bank in North Carolina near Charlotte. Inside, they found the 4 rifles, including a Sig Sauer, a 9mm, and $500,000 in cash that was believed to be his inheritance. 2 more handguns were found later in another car. Inside the van, police also found drawings of swastikas and planes crashing into buildings, as well as books about survival, bomb making, and Islam. So it's basically in one care package of idiocy, including the drawings about planes crashing into buildings. My God. The dude had 3 ID cards, one from California, Washington, and one from Florida, and thousands of images and videos showing child porno on his phone and laptop. Man, this guy sounds like he could have been a former radio guy. Oh, damn it, I got to stop making that joke. In a statement, Kannapolis police said Treisman's address was listed in Seattle. The federal court documents allege that from March to May, Treisman posted a meme with the question, should I kill Joe Biden? Yeah, I think that's going to put you on the radar, dumbass. And then when they looked at more about the on his computer, they searched that he had searched for Biden's home address. According to the court documents, he bought the AR-15 in New Hampshire and then drove to a Wendy's restaurant within 4 miles of Biden's home. The document says Treisman had the checklist that ended with a note to execute Biden. Investigators also found a document. They actually found a document, which is remarkable to me that this even exists, that you can go online and look this up and go, oh, print, download. The document is called, quote, a guide to mass shooting. What? How is that even a thing? Where do you come up with that? And who's the asshole that publishes it? And why isn't he locked away forever? A guide to mass shooting. The fact that there's a instruction manual for mass shooting is actually sickening to me. The documents say a video on a cell phone showed him visiting the Mandalay Bay Casino in Las Vegas. That was the site of the worst mass shooting in modern American history. It was the country concert, whatever. And the caption says, that's the one. That's where they did it. Nice. According to the documents. Not clear whether Treisman will face any charges related to the guns or the apparent threats. Neither his attorney nor federal prosecutors responded to requests for comment Thursday. He pleaded not guilty to the child porno charges at his arraignment a couple of weeks ago, held without bail, according to the detention order. Boy, talk about somebody you got. I hope to God they keep that guy locked up. I hope that, because some of the stuff, I mean, it's not illegal to have certain documents on you. That doesn't mean that you're going to go kill the president. It could be kind of like circumstantial evidence. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. So let's hope that the child porno charges stick, to say the least. Okay, there's a football game last night. And if, my God, this is ridiculous. Here I am bitching about the Detroit Lions on a near weekly basis, even though they won last week. Thank God. Monday, no doubt, I'll be bitching about them screwing something up against Indianapolis. I think that's who they play. But I am, believe it or not, I am pretty excited about the prospect of them possibly getting to 3-3. And that is what Lions fans do. It's you constantly go from hating them to having just a little slice of optimism. That's what we do. But the New York Giants, I mean, this is really horrible. Out of they make the Lions look like, you know, the Super Bowl champions. They're really, really bad. And this play is a microcosm of everything that is the New York Giants. First of all, before I get to the play, it's important to note that the Philadelphia Eagles, with 5 minutes to go in the game last night, were losing to the New York Giants 21-10. And then quarterback Carson Wentz somehow managed to lead the Eagles back, and they scored two touchdowns and then picked up a loose ball fumble to seal the victory. And they ended up somehow beating the Giants 22-21 last night in the football game. So, I mean, seriously, that is just god-awful. That is so miserable. If that had been my Lions doing that, it would have been the rant to end all rants about those guys. But holy shit. Okay, and you had to know this was coming. Only in a game like this where that happened earlier in the game, this was a precursor of things to come. Daniel Jones, a quarterback of the Giants, is at his own 12-yard line, hikes the ball, and he does one of these deals where the defense starts going one way because everybody thinks he handed the ball off to the running back or something. So the running back's running, and he runs like 3 or 4 steps, and everybody on the defense follows his running back. But the guy doesn't even have the fucking ball. And you see everybody like totally get duped on this fake. Jones has it, the quarterback, big, tall, white guy. And he goes around the end, and he's got wide open spaces. Like, by the time he gets to his own 20, you realize he's gone. There's no one that's going to catch him. And he runs well enough, just fast enough, and he's got just enough of a lead. Like, there's not even anyone in the picture. You're watching it on TV, and it's literally, there's a video of him, the only one on the screen for a brief moment. There's that much distance between him and the defenders. And he's off to the races like a freaking racehorse. And then all of a sudden you see the defenders are trying, they're chugging, huffing, puffing, trying to catch the guy, and he's chug-a-lugging, and he's going to score. And the announcer, Joe Buck, is like, oh, he's gone. And then the fucking damnedest thing happens. Listen to the clip, and then I'll go back. This is how it happened. It's being called the blooper of the year in football.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips. Going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is for 80. But a walk-in touchdown, and he tripped himself.
This is the only way he doesn't score. Turf monster got him right about there.
He's laughing in his face.
Oh. I've never seen it open up the way that it did for him on that. It's been that kind of year for the Giants offensively.
Oh my God. And okay, to say he tripped is an understatement. It was like he was running, and he got to like the 30. He's only 30 yards from the end zone. And for some reason, he developed like a wobble, like a weird type of, And his body kind of lurched a little bit forward. And then you could tell he's kind of, and it, over a span of the next 20 yards is the amount of space covered as this long, slow fall took place. It is incredible. And then, you know, he still just run for like 80 yards and but he hasn't scored. So his teammates are kind of like, they don't really want to like congratulate him on the huge gain, but because he fucked it all up. But I mean, oh my God, was this bad? Fuck. So embarrassing. So terrible. So, yeah, he didn't score. That was that. That's right up there with them. I can't really figure out which one would be worse. I think these other examples might be worse. Whenever a player has the ball and he's running towards the end zone, and just before he gets to the end zone, he drops it. You see a lot of players do that. I've done that over the years. Before they get to the end zone, dropping the ball, and then the ball like rolls out of bounds or something, no touchdown. I think that's actually worse, because that was like, hey, I'm going to drop it. You know, that's actually more embarrassing than this guy falling. This guy falling was just classic. But probably is the worst is the guy, what was his name? Jim Marshall, way back in like the 1970s for the Minnesota Vikings. He's a defensive player, and he picked up the ball. There was a fumble, and Jim Marshall picked it up, and he was so excited that he had the ball. He starts to run. And he goes all the way, but he's running the wrong way. He ran the wrong way down the field. So that turned out to be like a safety. He thought he scored a touchdown. It turns out it was a safety. The dumb son of a bitch picks up the fumble and runs all the way the wrong way. And his players are chasing him like, you cocksucker, fucking stop, you fat fuck. What are you doing? And they're chasing him down the field. The other team's like laughing. They don't need to chase. His own players are trying to stop his fat ass. Jim Wrong Way Marshall. Holy shit. What a thing that was last night. Very exciting and funny. I will link it up in the show notes of the podcast. You got to see it. And then it'll also be at In the News of ericzaneshow.com. I didn't even mention this. I put it in the tease. But I have big plans tonight. For the Ben and Eric podcast. This has been a long time coming, and I talked about this on Patreon. Ben, every day, posts jokes on Twitter. These shitty one-liners. And, man, they just stink. And I've seen these over time, all of these one-liners that he sees like something online, like a fact or something like that on Twitter, and then he'll take the fact on from this website, and then he'll post a joke based on it, and they're all just fucking horrible. I gotta see if I can get one. Ben, okay, there you go. Okay, this is what Ben does. This one actually isn't that bad. He goes to this site called Most Wow Facts, at Most Wow Facts. And then he subscribes to it, and then he sees like a fact that shows up. And then he makes the joke. This one says, the protein in sperm can help reduce wrinkles and tighten your skin when applied to the face. Ben retweets it with the quote, my girlfriend looks 60 because she hates facials. Now, honestly, that one is not bad, but most of them are just the shittiest. Most Wild Facts writes, a scientist in Antarctica managed to find a date through Tinder with another scientist who was camping 45 minutes away. And that actually happened. Ben retweeted it with the quote, could have just used Wander. I don't know. I honestly don't know what that means. It's shitty and horrible. And I'm going to sit here with Ben and read these to his face and try to and say, what the fuck is going on with that joke? And so for the longest time, I have screenshot these and sent them to Stu. And I said, what the fuck is this? And he's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here. We don't know what these jokes are. So it's been a game Stu and I have had. And I found, like, you know, we need to bring this to the podcast. Ben needs to be here. I mean, if I'm going to sit there and get my asshole reamed by Who Are These Podcasts, well, Ben should have to get reamed over these shitty jokes. So I said to him, I go, all right, dude, I got an idea. I'm going to review your shitty jokes on the podcast. And he goes, oh, fuck, this is going to be brutal. I go, yeah, it's going to be brutal. Get ready for it. So then the psychopathic magician John Midgley said, you need to bring Stu on for that episode. And I'm like, that's a great idea. So I reach out to Stu and I go, look, buddy, we're gonna murder Ben on the podcast. That is tonight. If you're getting this later in the day, it would be 6 p.m. is when we're going to do it live. And it's on Patreon. Yeah, Stu, myself, and Ben are going to get this done. And Ben is he's got to be just hating himself for doing this. But, you know, you gotta expect something like this from time to time, Ben. And so Stu, myself, are going to laugh and laugh and laugh at Ben's awful Twitter jokes on the podcast today. So I just wanted to point that out. You'll be able to see about the first 10 minutes of the show. I'll post it on Facebook, and I believe YouTube. I don't know if I... No, I can't do it on YouTube. Facebook and Twitter. The first 10 minutes will be on Facebook and Twitter. And then I'm going to cut that, and then I'm going to be exclusive on Patreon. The whole thing will be available. The video feed will be available on Patreon, where that podcast exists primarily. So, patreon.com/Eric Zane. Horizon Hydroponics says, all right, it's indoor growing season right now. And they want you to have everything you need to make sure you have the most bountiful harvest. Anywhere in the USA, Horizon Hydroponics wants you to buy the stuff that you buy to keep your plants green and growing indoors by buying it from them. HorizonHydroponics.com, HORIZEN, Hydroponics.com. Orders $250 and more, you get free shipping. And if you use the coupon code Zane Show at checkout, you save 10%. You can also call them. There's a number on their website if you have any questions before you make your purchase. So that's awesome. It's kind of like you got this hometown feel to it, but still, you're buying it from anywhere in the USA. That's awesome. If you want to see these folks in person in Grand Rapids on Alpine, they are at the Growers Outlet in Byron Center, Michigan, and then in Kalamazoo and Lansing. Thank you, Horizon Hydroponics. My mortgage guys, the almighty Mario Flores of Van Dyke Mortgage, 231-332-6505. First time, 10th time you need a mortgage, please call upon Mario. NMLS number 3035. They are awesome. Thank you. Mario Flores, Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. Side note about Ben's jokes. Adam says, Wander is dry. That is almost a dad joke. Oh, I would say most of Ben's jokes are dad jokes, which means they're not funny. All right. Anyway, where was I? Mario Flores, Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. You know, the key thing to note is he gets people in mortgages that are $1, $2 million all the damn time. And people who do that typically kind of don't want to spend the time with someone who wants to get a $140,000 mortgage or less, you know, a first timer. Mario makes sure that those people are taken care of too. All right. It takes a little bit more finessing, a little bit more navigating that, but he's up to the task. He's the guy. Thank you to Mario, 231-332-6505. Out of beautiful Muskegon, Michigan, and he can get you a mortgage anywhere in the USA. So, again, wherever you listen to the Eric Zane Show podcast, this is one of those sponsors that, go ahead, call your local guy, but please consider Mario and have him in the process as well. Give him a shot. And then last for this spot segment, Blue Frost IT. My gosh, I love these guys so much. Longtime sponsor of the show, Blue Frost IT, 616-285-50. Thank you to Blue Frost IT, the managed IT service provider for all of West Michigan for small and medium-sized businesses. Yeah, I know. You got a smaller or medium-sized business like mine, and sometimes you're going to need some tech support. If you reach out to them with a monthly service fee, you're constantly being updated. You're constantly being monitored. If things go south, you're just a phone call or a click away from getting them onto your equipment, either remotely or in person with boots on the ground and taking care of your stuff. You need to have your tech upgraded. When you log on, does it say, warning, this is happening, warning, this is happening, warning, you need to upgrade, warning, this is terrible. If that's happening, that's a problem. You need Blue Frost IT to take care of that your equipment for you. Otherwise, it could cause a bigger problem down the road. 616-200-8550. Kind of a show note. I was roasted 3 weeks ago, as I mentioned them earlier in the show. Who are these podcasts? Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. I was roasted on that show. And then a week passed, and he did another radio show out of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. During October, he calls it Jocktober, which is radio people and former radio people doing podcasts. And so I was featured on that. Well, at about that time, Carl came on my show, who does the show on the Tuesday after. And, well, it was actually a fun conversation. It was Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. It's a fun conversation with Carl. I got to pick his brain about how he does the show, and I encouraged you all to listen to it. And, you know, hey, he beat me up pretty good, and it's all fun. And, then I listened to the show with the guy from Eau Claire last week. And then at the end of the show, he said, all right, this is time for a tease for tomorrow's show or next week's show. And he played a clip from Free Beer and Hot Wings. And I was like, oh, fuck. Holy shit. And that comes up because after Carl was on my show, he was on Drew and Mike later on on that day, on that Tuesday that I had Carl on. He went on Drew and Mike because he's on that show every other week. He kind of does like a mini version of Who Are These Podcasts on that show. And by the way, they said some nice things about me. I was very, very appreciative of that. They're very, very kind to me, and I'm very happy about it. But Drew said, yeah, you better not review my nephew's show, which is Free Beer and Hot Wings. That Drew's nephew is Joe. And Carl was silent. And he goes, well, I don't know, man. I mean, the show is called Free Beer and Hot Wings. That sounds like something that would be right up my alley. He goes, I'm actually taking notes about the show right now. So maybe you might hear that. And Drew just kind of laughed it off. But lo and behold, it's happening. Carl's reviewing Free Beer and Hot Wings on Who Are These Podcasts. And I'm kind of nervous for them. I mean, not really. I mean, what do they got to worry about? It's an unbelievably successful show, but still, at least for me, when I had the thought that, oh, fuck, I'm about to get my asshole reamed by this guy, and I'm kind of an anxious little pussy, so it's, yeah, boy, that was weird for that week leading up to it. Carl's releasing his review of Free Beer and Hot Wings on Sunday, so something you might want to check out. I noticed that on my subreddit and on their subreddit, someone had posted about it. So I'm sure it was one of you bastards who helped tip off me and them. Don't take it seriously. It's a roast, for God's sake, guys. That's my only advice to you. And what do you got to worry about? You're doing great. The show's bigger than ever. My God. All right. Where the hell are we? I have no idea. It's one of those days. Okay. High-speed chase hilarity. Los Angeles County. People driving around. There's another high-speed chase. You've seen. Remember that TV show, World's Craziest Police Chases or some shit? That's what's going on here. This is a short clip. The guy in the traffic copter is following the bad guy. Police have been trying to track this guy down, and the only person that's able to catch up with the dude is the traffic guy. And he's like, all right, I got him, and here he is. He's on TV. So basically, you just turn on the TV, and there's people being chased in that part of the country, in that gigantic city. So this dude is driving around, And then the cops aren't really in hot pursuit. He's gotten away. And then as he's driving, the copter is still looking at him. And then the dude pulls over and is out of gas. He has to get gas. He pulls up at a gas station and he's fucking filling up. And this is how it sounded as the guy in the helicopter is doing the play-by-play on TV.
Even getting gas. He's going to get out and act very strange. Maybe even getting gas. Okay. Yeah, we're going to try to get a little closer to this. Let me guide my pilot in. It's just north of the freeway, Tim. And we're going to move in that way. Ran into the store once again. Went to the pumps. Here he is, back out. A very quick stop. And there he is, pumping the gas. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so I have not either. I've always thought about it. I've always thought about, is there ever a pursuit there that they refuel and then keep going? This is it. Well, he's got plenty of time. So far, no officers approaching. We'll keep an eye as I come out wide. Just no units there yet, and we're hoping that that the CHP is aware of the locator here. I'm looking out the window trying to find the airships, and maybe my pilot, Tim, can help me. But there he goes, back out. It's a quick pit stop for sure.
It's like NASCAR.
I would say. Wow. It's unbelievable.
And I don't think they caught him. It says no word on whether the cops ever wound up catching the dude. A news helicopter was still tracking him when he stopped to fill it up. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Don't run from cops, for God's sake. You know who does that a lot is people on motorcycles. Not the Harleys, but the guys on the rice burners. Hell, it seems impossible when they go whipping by at 115 miles an hour, and then like 4 minutes later, you see a cop car, like, ah, fuck, why even bother? As soon as they hit the gas, they give the middle finger and say, see ya, smell you later. Okay, totally different topic. This story out of Texas, I believe. Texas or Oklahoma. Two men who own a house in Fort Worth. Maybe that's a Fort Worth, Oklahoma. I guess there is. Are accused of this, performing a castration surgery on a victim. Oh, I'm leaving out a key word, a willing victim. Hey, man, we wanted to castrate you. What do you think about that? You down? Yeah. All right. Unbelievable level of depravity. We have a lot of that on this podcast today. Two guys decide that they want to do a castration. And then according to the police, one of them made a comment about eating the guy's nuts. Holy shit. Police in LaFleur County, Oklahoma found what appeared to be testicles in the freezer at the suspect's home during a search warrant last week. Boy, just another reason why policing is. Why does anybody want that job? I mean, nowadays it's in a terrible climate to actually want to go into that line of work to be a first responder, a cop. I mean, that's talk about a career that they're really going to have to up the benefits and the pay to get anybody to actually do that job anymore. If you're faced with the specter of all of what's going on right now. And then, oh, by the way, you could be faced with some guy's nuts and a crazy guy saying, those look delicious. I want to eat them. No, thanks. I'm going to go dump trash. They found the balls in the freezer during the search warrant. According to the affidavit, the victim had, quote, a lot of bleeding after the castration and was dropped off at a nearby hospital, court records show. Boy, how fucking screwed up do you have to be to say, yeah, go ahead and cut my nuts off and it's cool. Again, proof that we live amongst aliens, has to be alien life forms doing something like this. The botched operation led to the arrest of Bob Lee Allen, 53-year-old man, and Thomas Evans Gates. He's 42. That's right, baby. Police have charged him with felony counts of conspiracy to commit unlicensed surgery, practice medicine without a license, maiming, unlawful use of communication facility, a distribution of controlled dangerous substance, and assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. They also face misdemeanor charges of failure to bury a dead human member. What? failure to bury a dead human member? Are they talking about the balls? Is that, or I guess so. Is it, that's a crime? So if you cut balls off and throw them in the freezer, that's an additional charge because you didn't dig a hole and throw the balls into the ground? Is that what I'm understanding? Also, possession of controlled dangerous substances, unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia. So a long, long list of problems here. Of course, the quote, "We've never run across this in this part of the country." Well, did you run across it in another part of the country? Is that what you're saying? Said the sheriff. The victim is from Virginia, contacted the two dudes in September through a website about castrations. I don't know. It was like castrationmeat.com or whatever. The website requires a membership to log in. So people like sign up and they talk about getting your balls cut off. There's something for everybody online. The 28-year-old man had, Alan, one of the bad guys, or one of the guys who's accused, had told the 28-year-old man he had 15 years of experience in ball cutting and offered to arrange a flight for the participant to cut his balls off free of charge, the affidavit states. My God. So he gets there to the home in southeastern Oklahoma. The victim then, they're like, "Hey, come on in. Make yourself comfortable. You want Arnold Palmer? All right, sit down. Okay, let's cut your balls off." The victim was operated on October 12th on a, quote, a makeshift table that was covered in gowns. That's like the setup I have here at the podcast. This table with a, I got a bed sheet on top of this one. Oh, my God. He received injections to his balls before having... This is really going to make you want to throw the banana out the window here. That's an old school reference. This is going to ruin your day. So, Megan, I'm looking at you. You might want to check out for a minute or two. Turn the volume down. If you haven't already. Received injections to his testicles before having his scrotum and testicles surgically removed by Allen, the affidavit states. Allen was aided by Gates, who was, he's like, scalpel. You know, and we'd hand him the shit while he's operating him, on him. The victim stated that after the surgery was over, that Allen said that he was going to consume the balls. He laughed about it and said, "Yes, I am a cannibal." So he's basically, you know, he removes the warm nuts and throws them in a Tupperware, sews the dude up, and the guy's just laying there. What the fuck? What is so, I mean, what, man, talk about a, can you imagine being the mother and father of this? I feel really terrible for them. Your 28-year-old son is so fucked up. He's seeking out crazy people across the country to have his balls cut off. And then the guy says, "Yeah, I want to eat your balls." Oh, how do you pick up the pieces from that, man? I'd definitely hang myself. If I found out that my son was doing that, if Jim said, "Hey, Dad, guess what? I just did this. All right, I'm checking out. I've had it. I have had it." Because you know it's a long list of shit leading up to that. It's like, you know what? I've had it with you. I can't take this world anymore. I am checking out. I'm going to periwinkle skies, rainbows, angels pitter-pattering on top of the clouds. I'm going to see my mother. Forget it. I'm out. You deal with this shit. Go eat your own balls. Fuck you. Terrible. The victim said that he then told him about the time where he worked on someone that he described to be crazy and that he left the mail opened up to die overnight. Allen and Gates also allegedly tried to get the victim to participate in cannibalism. Here, eat your own balls. The sheriff told reporters Tuesday they are looking for additional victims. The world is a screwed up place, man. The man who was operated on was bleeding the next day, but the suspects initially refused to take him to a hospital, police said. They eventually took him to the hospital, and Allen told the victim if he passed out or died that he would dump him in the woods. Police were notified about the victim by hospital staff. Let's see, 1 week ago. The sheriff's office searched the home of Allen and Gates. They found dried blood, drugs, syringes, additional medical equipment and the balls. Hey, Chief, I found the balls. You know that when he's walking up there, when the cop's walking up to the freezer, like, oh, fuck. First, he opens up the fridge. Oh, thank God they're not in here. It's just usual shit in the fridge. Ranch dressing, ketchup, you know, mayonnaise, maybe romaine lettuce, yogurt. It's like, okay, one down. Please don't let there be balls in here. Opens it up. Ah, fuck. Shit. Chief, I found the frozen balls. My God, what a job. Officers were also combing through electronic data. According to the sheriff, Gates and Allen were arrested after they were located visiting the victim at the hospital. So they showed up with a fucking edible arrangement. Here you go. Cookies on a stick. One of them shaped like nuts. Here you go. Pfft, ah. They were arrested to remain in the jail on $295,000 bail. The victim is, quote, doing okay, according to Dairy Barry, as it went on. Boy, how does it? Okay, let's say you're the dude who got your balls cut off. Now, you still have a penis, so it just looks weird, you know? And I can't imagine what that's like. You have no scrotum, no testicles. Hopefully your urinary function is okay. But then what? I mean, how does that? At this point, you have the mechanism that makes testosterone for yourself, so you're without that. That's a big deal. Holy shit, my God, say a little prayer for the damaged dude with no testicles today. Fuck, and his parents. But what a mess. Cannot believe that. Holy crap. Okay, I want to read you Bobby Sue's amazing email in just a bit here. So we're flushing all the ball-eating talk. It's going to get so amazing here. This is a great email based on things that happened earlier in the week, and it's a really nice way to end the week. Okay, so we're getting rid of all conversations about eating testicles and homemade castration and the bad guys bringing edible arrangements to the dude who's hurt and all that shit. I'm going to get to this email, and, man, it might make me cry again. I can't. I got to be buttoned up. I got to put in the build the walls around me and get ready to go, because it actually really is uplifting. It's not sad. It's just great. Some of you will probably cry. Some of you I know are just as sensitive as I am. But before we wrap that up, I of course, have to mention the people that help make this free podcast free each and every day. I know sometimes I get flack about that, saying, it's too many damn sponsors. Like, dude, it's free. It can't happen. I can't put all this time into it if we don't have an income to keep the lights on. That's it. That's how it works. Podcast every day, podcast like crazy, every day, all day. Make it available. Sell the shit out of it. All right. One of the first sponsors I had was the Kent County Health Department. They still are going strong. They have given me the task of informing you about their initiatives. You got the WIC program, you know, women, infant, children, and, of course, men. If you're down on your luck, you're thinking, man, I can't make ends meet, and my kids need something to eat. Well, there is a program that you've been paying in for, you know, your whole life that is not going anywhere, the WIC program. If shit sucks for you, reach out to the Kent County Health Department about how you can take advantage of this. It works like this. If you qualify, you get this card, and it's loaded with cash, and then you go to the store, and you get food. Now, you can't get everything. I mean, you can get food that's appropriate, okay? You can't go buy liquor, for God's sake, with WIC. It's important that you utilize this so that your kids can stay fed, so you're getting staples, you know, shit to make good, wholesome food for your family. Okay. And again, you pay for it when you earn money. And if you get down on your luck and things are rough, this is for you. It's set up that way to help. So do it. Take advantage of it. You want more information? Just swallow your pride and give them a call. You can be totally anonymous too. I mean, no one has to know that. That's your business. More information about the WIC program, go to accesskent.com/health. And kind of root around on the website. All the information is there. A little frequently asked questions there. And then call if you need more information. 616-632-7100. And then if you qualify, you're good to go. Thank you, Kent County Health Department. When it comes to getting in shape, you are going to love the workouts at F45 Byron Center. Go to their website, f45training.com/Byron Center. Start your free trial and then get after it, man. Get in there. It's a 45-minute workout each and every day. You can work out on the weekend, too. They are in Byron Center, Michigan, in the same place where the family fair is. That's where the facility is. Showers, group setting, personal touch, these crazy awesome workouts. My God, 45 minutes of your time. Isn't your health worth it? I mean, if you're sitting there and you're a slug and you're not taking care of yourself, if you want something that's really going to jumpstart you, think about f45training.com/Byron Center. Now, me, I like doing my own thing, okay? But some of you like that type of tailored workout for you. And I've done those too. I've worked with organizations just like F45, and I've done workouts at F45, and there you are. You're going to work your ass off, and you're going to get in shape fast. You're going to make friends, and you're going to meet new people. It's going to be amazing. F45training.com/Byron Center. Sanitize for your protection. 1/2 capacity class sizes. Socially distant. All set up for you. A healthy way to get in shape. F45training.com/Byron Center. And then last, but not least, legendary. You know, it's been too long. Hey, Siri. Wait, I should have heard her. Why didn't I hear her? Hey, Siri. Call Rick Steinbach.
Calling Rick Steinbach Mobile.
Let's hear how fast Rick can talk. His wife always gives him shit because he talks so damn fast. I wonder if I can get him to pick up. It's usually early.
You look so amazing in that sundress.
Oh, I love it. You know, I don't know if you're watching live.
I was just listening. Yeah, I'm walking around, but I'm listening.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I just haven't talked to him. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to see if you, because it doesn't seem fast to me because I talk fast, but your wife always gives you grief about talking too fast.
Oh, yeah, she's my better half.
I mean, she's like, Rick, seriously, you got to slow down and take a breath.
Yeah, she definitely, that's all the stuff that she points out to me, and I'm like, oh, whatever. So whenever anybody else says it, she's like, see?
By the way, that was quite a time when we had that Saturday event at TC Paintball with that big group of people when we were outdoors.
I wish there was more hours in a Saturday. I'd love to do a Saturday all the time, but, man, no. Saturdays are so busy, you know?
I know it. Well, you know, as you now you're still outdoors right now, right?
We are. Now we're kind of in that weird, like, it's getting dark pretty early. Even at that event, it started to get dark pretty early. So our nighttime events, you know, we don't have lights out there until hopefully next year. The nighttime events are getting shorter. We're just, in fact, today, because of the weather, we're going to open up indoor. And, you know, we kind of waited until you know, movie theaters and health clubs and trampoline parks and all that stuff was open so we could just kind of merge with the crowd.
So you've got the air ball field is all set up indoors. And am I saying that right, air ball?
You are. Yeah, okay. I get a little smile on my face every time you do it right.
Yeah, I always feel weird saying it. I feel like I'm doing it wrong.
I know, you always do it kind of like a real hesitantly.
Yeah, I know it. I just got to commit. But, okay, tell me what you're building off that room. Is that another room clearing thing you're doing?
Yeah, basically. So we're paintball and airsoft are pretty close. In fact, there's a lot of manufacturers that are into both industries. So we've been wanting to do more and more airsoft for a long time. Airsoft is pretty growing. It's a little bit more of the play and army type thing. And that room over there, we used it for a couple different purposes, but I can't figure out the right formulation to make it full all the time, you know, to make money on that square footage all the time. So once we got that outdoor village, now we have a place for the airsofters to play. So now they're here, and I'm making something basically for them. So one thing with airsofters is they don't like brushing up against a bunker that's got paintball paint all over.
Yeah.
They got tactical gear that they try to keep clean. So what we want to do with that room over there is a number of things, but it's all going to be paintless. So there won't be any paintball in there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Airsoft. So, yes, they keep it clean. So there's going to be airsoft. So it's going to be the room-to-room clearing type thing. But there's also a couple of younger kid activities that we're going to do, Nerf War. And there's something that's called Jelly Ball. Without getting too specific, it's basically like little Orbeez They're little water-soaked pellets that come out of a gun that's kind of like an airsoft gun, but we can go with a lower age for that activity. So we're going to keep it all clean over there and just kind of, you know, kind of do that with what we got going on now, but we can go a little bit lower on the age, and we can also keep those airsofters playing through the winter, you know, when it's too cold to play in some of the outdoor fields.
Okay. So some of those airsofters, are they starting to sniff you out and say, hey, I heard about this?
Yes, yeah. So we've got a small section. Obviously, you've been in my pro shop. It's almost all paintball, but we just because we already have the relationships with the manufacturers, it's easy to say, hey, throw me a couple of airsoft guns on that order as well. So we've been trying to grow that inventory a little bit. In my Traverse City and my Lansing locations, both with big outdoor fields, do really, really well with regular airsoft games, you know, 20 to 50 people at a you know, a little event. So it's such a close demographic for us that we've always wanted to get into it more, but until I had that village, it made it tough. You know, I mean, you got to have the people here playing to develop that necessity for a new product.
Gotcha. Man, that's awesome. I'm excited. I like seeing you expand as things go on, you know?
I appreciate that. You know, we moved to this location and we had more to offer, but we had to do a lot of building. So it's like, you know, you can't sit still. You just got to keep moving and taking what you have and, you know, try to make money on every square inch and try to, you know, keep putting a good quality product out there for people, you know, and they're responding pretty well. You know, we're really busy right now. So
I love that.
I'm knocking on wood.
Wow, who would have thought that in a year that at one point you were shut down, you've somehow managed to pivot? I give you a lot of credit, buddy. I really do.
I appreciate that. It was, you know, I went kicking and screaming. My management staff said to me, you know what, we might get shut down. And I rolled my eyes. I said, there's no way. There's no way. And then all of a sudden that order came, and I'm like, oh, shit, what the hell are we going to do now, you know?
Oh, my God. Hey, did you watch a debate last night?
I did. Yeah, I did. It was, you know, I kind of had a similar feeling. It wasn't entertaining, but it wasn't as awkward either. So I appreciated it. But, you know, I lean one way a little bit more than the other, but I'm not to the extreme of either one of those sides. But, I mean, just the political lies that we got to sit through. You know, I mean, it's not just those two. It's almost every single level that they say one thing, they do another. And it's like, you know, so-and-so is a liar. Yeah, well, so is that guy, or so is that chick, or so are they. You know, it's like, it's such a game to me, and I'm so over it. I can't wait till this election happens so we can just live with the consequence and move forward.
You know, out of all the elections, after everyone passes, I'm always like, well, it could never get worse. Like, I remember when do you remember George Bush and Al Gore? And that whole thing, and then it took a long time to determine a winner. That one, I was like, well, it can never get worse. It can never get worse. And then every year, it outdoes it. It's like, there's nothing redeeming about any of this. It's just a shit show, disaster, and I don't know how anybody feels good about it at the end of it, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of that Bush-Gore thing might have been the first indication, at least that I can remember, that the system isn't perfect. It's broken. And, you know, it's been more and more, or at least showing more and more parts of it being broken ever since that, you know.
Are you a early voter or a day of voter?
Day of.
Yeah, me too. I just like to walk in, you know.
Yeah.
Do my
thing. It's part of it, right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's it. I appreciate you. TCPaintballGR.com. Do I have them call this number, or what is the number I have them call? I forget.
This is my cell phone. Yeah, it's the 249 number, 616-249-8227 is how you get a hold of me. Email and Facebook is good, too. I always got my phone on me, and it all goes there, so I can respond to you pretty timely. You and I need to talk about how we're going to approach this next event. I know you're trying to keep yourself under lock and key a little bit, you know, get ready for your kidney thing.
Oh, yeah. I got an idea. I think, you know what, the thing about paintball, though, you're trying to stay away from each other during gameplay, so I'm not worried about that. All I need to do is just keep myself, be cognizant of staying away at, like, when I'm not playing, like when we're eating pizza and stuff like that.
We'll get, like, a plexiglass booth like the Pope.
Yes. We'll figure it out. I'm not too concerned about that, and we can definitely set something up.
So you remember a year ago we were at World Cup in Florida, and I took this tournament season off because I was getting, you know, I was working on building that outdoor. Now that outdoor is mostly done, we're putting the band back together. I got one of my guys back off of a pro team, back on my semi-pro team, and we're going to go to a World Cup again this fall, which is in just a few weeks. So that's going to interrupt my schedule as far as availability for an event, but I still want to get one on paper. So maybe off the podcast where we can talk a little bit, throw some ideas back and forth, we'll figure that out.
God, so when you said in 3 weekends you'll be in at that competition?
Yeah, it's November. I think November 15th is the Sunday, so I actually leave like that Tuesday of the week before.
Have you guys come up with your battle plan yet? I know that you like to actually prepare.
We do prepare, and the cool thing about that is if you get into the technical side of all this, and most people don't care about, is we get the field layout 2 weeks ahead of time. So we'll spend the 2 weeks before that event just grinding on that field layout and figuring out every possibility for every scenario, and you know, and trying to go down there and apply our game plan to beat everyone else's.
It's like chess. Holy crap.
Chess with guns, man.
Yep. All right, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
There you go. World famous Rick from TC Paintball, tcpaintballgr.com. Love that guy. Okay. This email came in at 9:31 last night. And I'll end with this. Hold on a second. Make sure I got my act together here. Bobby Sue writes this. Bobby Sue's been with us on the, remember we did the trivia gig on Patreon for a period of time? The Fear Bunker trivia was great fun. Bobby writes, Eric, I've been listening to you since 09, when FBHW started on WQLZ in Springfield, Illinois. I fell in love with the show mostly because of you and your no-holds-barred opinions. Your stories about your family and the calls with both your mother and father. Those are things that she really liked. I am sure you've received an abundance of emails, texts, and calls in regards to your mother passing. But I wanted to still reach out and give you my deepest condolences, prayers, and love to you, Diana, the kids, and your family. I always loved the phone calls to your mother on Freebeer and Hot Wings. And always got a laugh out of her not knowing the difference between you guys. I touched on that earlier in the week, and I honestly had forgotten about the dynamic of those calls because it didn't happen that often. But Steve was kind enough to send for personal use some of those segments, and I listened back to them, and they were really, really funny. It's tough to make me listen to anything I do either way back then or now and go, that was good. Those were good. There was a real pacing to them, where I was just, the way the group was, we were kind of sniggering and laughing as we were, you know, like throwing things at my mom that were going over her head. And again, she couldn't tell who was talking. She thought they were all me, and Greg in particular would say things that were like, oh, so mom, I got caught beating off or something like that. He didn't say that, but it's something to that effect. And she'd be like, what? I can't believe you did that or something like that. It was just incredible. Hilarious. Putting me in a hilariously awkward position. I got a laugh out of her not knowing the difference between you guys. I always found that to be so charming and innocent about her. Bobby writes, I am a mother of four children, and I've often thought about making a video for each of my kids to have once I have passed, especially for my two daughters, just in case I pass while they are still young. I want to be sure I say to them all of the things I want them to know about growing up to be good, respectable, and self-respectable young ladies. I have put it off and put it off, but hearing you read the letter from your mother and how heartfelt and from the soul of a mother it was and how heartfelt it was from the soul of a mother, I have decided to not put this off any longer. I've already made a video for my oldest son and my oldest daughter. I'll be making two more for my younger daughter and my younger son. And because of how much I could tell that you loved that letter from your mother, I will continue to make subsequent videos for my kids as I watch them grow and as I grow as a mom. I want to say thank you for sharing your life and your family with all of us that love you and that are fans of yours. There were so many times in my life that I was really going through it as a young single mom that your show on Free Beer and Hot Wings really gave me an outlet and escape from my problems. I would listen and laugh, and my day/life would be so much better. I still get that same escaping feeling listening to your podcast now. Thank you. It really does provide a comedic relief for people like me. I hope you continue to do what you do. I will always subscribe and listen. I hope that I can meet you in person someday. Please give my deepest sympathies to your family. Stay funny. Longtime listener, Bobby Sue. Well, you know, that just about makes my day right there. I really appreciate that, Bobby, and I appreciate all of you. It has been a wild week getting back to it. But my mom would have said to me, yeah, quit being a pussy and go get it. Okay? She probably wouldn't have said that. She didn't talk like that. But she definitely would be wanting me to get back to work. So I wanted to get after it as quickly as possible. Because the longer I would have waited, it would have been that much more difficult. But honestly, knowing that you're all there was immensely uplifting. So thank you very much for thinking about us. The weekend's on that note. But I will continue on Patreon, and I'd love you to be part of it. Thank you very much for being part of this one, though. Till next time, folks, we'll talk to you on Patreon, and then 6 p.m., I'll give you a taste of the Eric and Ben podcast with Stu McAllister for all of you freebie folks. But if you want to just sign up now, you can get the whole damn thing uninterrupted on Patreon. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Make sure you look up Who Are These Podcasts wherever you download podcasts. If you want to hear those guys roast free beer and hot wings, it'll be a hell of a time, I'm sure. Until next time, have a great one, folks. Bye-bye.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.